Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kingdom Hearts, A Forgotten Era, an actual play podcast set in the universe of Kingdom Hearts, 60 years before the events of Birth by Sleep. We will be playing Interstitial, Our Hearts Intertwined, a game made by Riley Hopkins. You can find them at RevRybread on Twitter. To start things off, I would like everyone to introduce themselves. Say your names and pronouns. I'm Lena. I use she, her, and they, them pronouns, and I will be running this game.
Hi, I'm Isaiah. I use he, him, and they, them pronouns.
Hi, I'm Nathan. I use he, him pronouns.
I'm Griffin McElroy. I'm Theo. I use he, him.
I'm Ren. I use they, them pronouns.
Hi, I'm Val, and I use she, her pronouns.
All right. So, our story begins with our camera zoomed out, showcasing a city built on a hill surrounded by water. The camera quickly swoops across the entirety of the city, and we watch as children run through the street, as couriers deliver mail to many of the homes, guards patrol the city, working to keep everyone safe, and students wielding strange, key-shaped weapons spar with each other. Our camera zooms back out, showcasing the whole city once again, and the words Scala ad Caelum appear on screen. The camera lingers on the shot of the city for a while, before zooming into the top of the city, a large spire with blades spinning in the wind, much like a windmill. Our camera zooms in even further, into an open window at the top of this building, and we see two kids playing a game of chess, one dressed in white and one dressed in black. The boy in black has lost this game, but the boy in white suggests a new game, one they haven't played before. He brings out 5 white pieces and 7 black pieces. Both of the boys smile at each other and begin playing this new game. But before we see the results of it, our camera zooms back out, this time zooming in on an open clearing, where 4 warriors wielding keyblades are sparring against one another. One of these keyblade wielders is in an outfit far fancier than the rest of them. Rem, I would like you to briefly introduce your character.
Yeah, I'm playing Asa. She is going to be using a custom playbook called the Henshin. It's a transforming character playbook. She's currently trying her hardest, but she's not very good at this yet. She's just kind of flailing around a little bit in her little pink hoodie with the cat ears.
Okay, so our camera pans over to the person that she is sparring with. This person is using a wooden keyblade, but that doesn't seem to be stopping her determination. Theo, I would like you to introduce your character.
I would be pleased to. I'm playing Seneca the Hunted. She's dressed mostly green shades of green. She's got a green leather jacket going with a green scarf over top, wearing jeans and a pair of green sneakers. And she's probably in the fight, she's probably not using the wooden keyblade as you're meant to use a keyblade. She's probably using a little bit more just like how you would use a normal stick. She's probably doing pretty good in the fight, like in a good natured way. She's not just being like mean and just, you know, smacking the shit out of Asa.
Okay, so our camera pulls away from Asa and Zeneca and moves to one of the couriers in the city. This one is a man with short, curly brown hair, dressed in baggy clothes. Nathan, I would like you to introduce your character.
Whoa, my character's name is Celeritas Quickfoot. He's going to be using the Knucklehead playbook, and he is just a super friendly, just the most shonen protagonist in all but actual genre of the thing we're doing.
All right. So our camera pans back to the open clearing, and we focus on the other set of Keyblade wielders sparring against each other. This next Keyblade wielder is a slightly older-looking man. He is using a metal Keyblade and one that is reminiscent of a rapier. I would like you to introduce your character, Isaiah.
So his name is Ember. He is the discarded playbook. And I think right now he is sort of sparring kind of defensively, looking for an opening.
Okay. Our final Keyblade wielder is wielding a Keyblade that looks like a blank car or house key. Last but not least, I would like you to introduce your character, Val.
My character is Milo. He is the Dark Playbook. And he is definitely a more aggressive fighter. He is trying to break down Ember's defenses and sort of whacking determinately at the blade to sort of throw him off balance.
Alright. So, as each of you are going about your day, you receive a message saying that the Keyblade wielder Master Nalia, who all of you study under, wishes to speak with you immediately. You all make your way to the same clearing that the Keyblade wielders were training at, and meet with Master Nalia. Master Nalia is a young Keyblade master with pink hair, dressed in the regalia expected of a Keyblade master. As you all arrive, she says, "Ah, it's good to see you all. I'm very glad that you got my message. We don't know why, but many of the worlds have begun to fall to darkness, and I trust that you students will be able to save them. I've arranged a ship to take you between worlds and have opened up the lanes in between. And if you are all ready to go, you can set off at once. Are there any questions?"
Sorry, what?
Ace is gonna shyly raise her hand and be like, "Are you sure you want me to go?"
Ember is going to raise his hand and kind of look at Milo a little bit and be like, "Are you sure you want all of us to go?"
"I am positive. I've seen your training, and I feel that you are the best picks to go."
"After Master Nalia, I've been here about a week and a half. I appreciate the compliment, but I don't remember this being part of the tuition fees we're paying for. I don't remember signing on for this." And Zeneca's saying all this with kind of a smile on her face, but she is very clearly like, "Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit! Oh shit!"
she kind of like laughs a little bit at that, and she's like, "Being Keyblade wielders, you are expected to save the world when it needs to happen. This is very much something you signed on for."
"Are you sure that we're all capable of that?"
"I'm positive."
Asa tries not to look stupid.
"Milo, another important question. Is Solaritas there?"
"Solaritas is there."
Okay. "You managed to make it in time."
"Wait, I need to give this again. Give me like 10 minutes, man." It has to go get it from outside.
"This man had to like sprint through the rest of his deliveries for the day to make it back to this field in time."
Solaritas dives
everybody
in through the window.
"Everybody just waited for you."
Solaritas has his head in like a fucking trash can, his foot in a mop bucket. Like, what?
He's slightly out of breath when he arrives, and he still has his courier's bag with him at all times. Because obviously.
Yeah.
Alright, so yeah, I think Zeneca's like, not sure how she can know about this without arousing more suspicion. So she just kind of shut up and is like, kind of looking panicked.
Asa definitely just feels like the weakling right now.
Milo puffs out his chest and is just like, "Well, all of you guys have worked with me. All of you guys have worked with me. And obviously, if you guys have worked with me, you have potential. We've worked with Master Nalia. We have potential. All we have to do is follow our power and we can get through this."
"Cool speech, Pat."
She points at Milo and is like, "That's the kind of attitude that I'm here for."
Oh, he's preening. He is definitely, like, puffing up his chest and, like, looking very pleased with himself.
Zeneca's definitely, like, rubbing the back of her neck and kind of kicking the floor. Is like, "So are we gonna go ahead and go then, I guess?" Question mark.
Ember goes, "Is there any more information that you can give us about what exactly we need to do?"
"Nope, bye."
"Want to maybe give us, like, a debriefing?"
I need you to eliminate the Heartless in each of these worlds and then seal the keyhole.
Asa's gonna, like, summon and unsummon her Keyblade a couple times and be like, "Okay, yeah. Yeah, we can do that."
Ember goes, "I suppose I will do my best to make you proud."
"That is always my hope."
Solaris is just really excited that he gets a chance to now, like, deliver across dimensions.
You're like, oh boy, I can't wait to deliver more things on this quest.
Hell yeah. Courier by fucking nature and courier by trade.
Solaris is gonna kill the final boss of this campaign and be like, express shipping, 2 days of rest. Bitch.
Solaris grabs a signpost, slams it into the final boss. Oh, I had a one-liner and it's gone now. Damn it.
Special delivery and then punch in the face.
That was it. I was gonna say special delivery.
Through rain or sleep or snow.
Oh, I love this.
Can we just hard cut and we're like walking to the gummy ship or whatever it's called?
Yeah, you can. You're walking to the
wait, I have one more quip.
There's a screen wipe.
Well, actually, as you all get ready to leave, Nalia stops Imber and Milo and says, "You two, think of this as a test. I want nothing more to you than for you to prove to me that you're ready to become a Keyblade Master. But I need to be shown that you have it in you to become a Master. This is your chance to show me that, and I very much hope that you will succeed." And she gives you a bow and then sends you on your way.
Milo is literally, like, vibrating and then goes still. And then he looks at Imber, and he's just like, and he's like...
That was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, he's like, why... I get the feeling that you don't think I can do this.
I definitely believe that you can. I'm concerned that you won't.
I don't know how to answer that, and he's going to walk away.
Solaris, okay. He runs up. Hey guys, what's up?
Yo, this conversation is on here, guys.
Instantly backs out.
Like Milo, kind of brusquely, like moves past Solaris, like
Cool, pick the best time. I'll just go that way.
So I guess we all get to. Is there going to be a gummy ship?
There is a gummy ship. Yeah.
It's the Ebon Hawk from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Perfect.
That's canon.
Well, actually, technically, Star Wars isn't canon in the Kingdom Hearts universe.
You're going to have a fun job editing this, aren't you?
No, I'm keeping that in.
Oh, that's all being kept.
So I guess we're all in the... idea I'd like to put forward just to move things along is that when they're getting into the gummy ship, Zeneca sees the last seat available is beside Milo, and she sits as far on the edge of her seat as she possibly can. casually, like, but not making a big deal of it. Just like, hey, what's up? You know, just kind of sitting on the arm.
Solaris, before going to the gummy ship, went back and dropped by his siblings and to tell them he'll be out for a
fucking day. Fucking brag.
No.
Asa definitely had a moment where she didn't have any stuff to work through, so she got in immediately, and her, like, front-of-the-class mentality, she immediately sat in the pilot seat, looked down, realized it was the pilot seat, and got back up.
And then none of us sat in the pilot seat, because none of us sat in Dolly is like, I feel like I forgot something. Oh, no.
Which one of us is going to be the pilot?
Wait a minute, if you have daddy issues and I have daddy issues, then who's flying this thing?
Solaris, don't worry, guys, I got this. And then he fucking cuts to the outside of the gummy ship and everybody's screaming at Solaris.
Milo's reaching forward for the controls like, this was a mistake! This was a mistake to let you drive!
Does the gummy ship still run on smiles?
The gummy ship 100% still runs on smiles. So this is the best that Solaris is driving.
Asa and Solaris are going to have to feel this thing by themselves.
Solaris is absolutely grinning like a maniac the whole time.
Milo was feeling happy.
So I think Imber is probably the last to get on. And I think before stepping on, he sort of like turns around and looks at like Scala Ad Callum and the place that he has been in for so long, and he just sort of takes in a deep breath and exhales and then walks onto the ship.
Hell yeah. Okay. So as you all get inside,
hell yeah, ship... breathing.
Hell yeah. I mean, that is very important. As you all get inside the gummy ship, the ship takes off and heads into the ocean between. As you leave Scala Ad Caelum, you see three more worlds, and the names of each world pops up above the world. The worlds you see in front of you are called the Mystery Shack, Atlantis, and the Incan Empire. Which would you all like to go to first?
Incan Empire, right now!
I just want to say, I immediately got excited by all three of those.
Yes! Same. These are three very good bolts.
Can we just hard left to the Mystery Shack? Can we just hard left to the Mystery Shack?
All of our characters are going to be possessed by, like, unknown spirits and, like, fucking yanking at the wheel in opposite directions. but also, I guess, fucking Solaritus is the one in the pilot seat, so he has the final vote.
Oh, shit. That's
true. So we're all like, what are these places? I have no preference.
we're just going to have that Kingdom Hearts 1 moment of fighting over the wheel and crashing in deep jungle.
Whichever one we would pick. Be deep jungle.
Whichever one we pick, we just end up in somewhere else.
Alright, by virtue of my character being the one at the driver's seat, Blair just says to himself, huh, that sounds fun, and goes towards the Mystery Shack.
Oh, yeah.
God. Heck yeah. I was honestly really hoping that would be the first one you picked.
Oh, boy.
I can't wait to use a transformation sequence in front of Mabel Pines.
Wait, who's Mabel Pines? Says Zeneca. I wonder what's at this Mystery Shack.
It's a mystery.
Milo is less than enthused, and he's like, how are we going to save the world at a shack?
That's the mystery.
No way to find out what to do it.
Yeah, I suppose.
I wonder what kind of mysteries will be found here in this shack.
Plot twist, we're going into Supernatural instead.
That would be a twist.
That would be one hell of a plot twist.
So as you make your decision, the ship takes off into that direction. Considering you don't have the most training with flying a gummy ship, you make your way to the aforementioned shack and you crash into the top of it.
Oh no.
That tracks.
Do we knock off any letters?
You know, it has to be while Seuss is replacing the S. That has to be canon.
Yeah, 100%.
He's gotta, like, climb down the ladder and be like, there, good job done, and then fuck it, we drive by and it just falls off again.
Yo, that was such a good Seuss impression.
That was a really good Seuss.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That was amazing.
You're voicing Seuss from now on.
I know what character I'm gonna be in when Zeneca dies.
So what I'm hearing is we're pulling a Stitch commercial.
Yeah, basically. So you land inside of the shack, and you hear the sound of two children screaming.
Like in fear or like arguing?
Well, we just crashed into a building.
Oh.
So probably not excitement, that's for sure.
I think Milo immediately like wants to react to children screaming with a like, oh, we gotta figure out I don't want people to be afraid, so, you know, as long as, like, it's people who don't deserve to be afraid. So he's gonna try and, like, jump... Milo's got issues, guys. I think we've established this. And he's gonna try and sort of, like, be the first one out of the door and see, you know, what he can do to help out.
Is the door leading inside the shack or, like, on the roof?
You landed on the roof.
But, like, is the door leading inside or, like, on... Like, as you said, we crashed into the place.
Yeah. It's leading inside.
Also, Solaritus is profusely apologizing for crashing everyone into a building. Again.
Ember is consoling him.
Zeneca's following Milo out the front and like dusting her shoulder, looking back at Solaris. Like, Solaris, you're fine. Looks at the kids like, sup? What's the peace sign?
Lena, I have a question.
I have an answer.
Were we told to protect the world border?
Were we told?
Oh my god, you were not.
Cut back to Nalia. I feel like I forgot to say something. Oh no!
Yeah, no, that 100% happened.
She's like drinking a cup of tea and it's like eyes wide. Oh no. Oh shit.
Well, she can. You can burn a link to make a mild retcon, so.
I mean, I can't burn. I don't think I can do that, so that's up to y'all.
I'm sure Nalia has links with us that she can burn.
Besides, she's the GM. You're God. You can do whatever.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm gonna say you were told that.
Were or were not?
You were told to maintain the world border. So in front of you, you see a kid, a very slightly shorter kid, wearing a hat with a blue tree on it, and next to him is a slightly taller kid wearing a pink, what's the word? Sweater.
Sweater?
That's the sort of word.
Como se
dice? And the girl in the pink sweater is like, oh my gosh, are you aliens? And you see the boy in the hat is like flipping through a journal he has that has a handprint and then the letter three. The letter three. The number three on it.
Letter three, that was my favorite fucking Hubert film.
Milo is going to take stock of the situation. He is going to run a hand under his long white braid and he's going to look at both children and say yes.
Of course. Asa immediately blows our cover.
I feel like if they think we're aliens, like, I think that's better than them thinking that we're Keyblade wielders trying to.
I guess that's fair.
Aliens is better than interdimensional travelers. That Asa was a sentence I never thought I'd say.
And he's like,
God.
Zeneca just immediately pushes past Milo and is like, "Hey kids, what's up? Also, aliens. What are those? I've had a line, forgot it."
The girl in the pink sweater is the girl in the pink sweater is kind of jumping up and down. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, we've never met aliens before."
Oh. Hello, Solana says, popping out of the door. Has anything weird happened lately? I mean, besides us.
Oh yeah, there's been a bunch of hauntings around the place.
Oh, is that normal for here or weird for here?
Well, we've encountered ghosts before, so it's not that weird.
Oh, nice.
Milo?
Yeah, that sounds normal.
Because I was going for, you know, Solaris asked if anything weird has happened here, and it's Gravity Falls, so...
Yeah.
Milo's really interested in this book, and the child that has not spoken yet. And so he's, like, trying to, like, sort of, like, crouch. Because he's very tall. And so he's, like, trying to crouch and, like, sort of, like, look at the book that, like, the child is flipping through. And he's like, what are you trying to read?
So the kid in the blue hat. I'm just going to say their names from now on because that's easier, even though they haven't introduced
themselves. By
the way,
what are your names?
The girl in the pink sweater is like, oh, I'm Mabel, and this is my twin brother, Dipper. And Dipper's like, oh, this book is... And he closes it, and he's like, it's a secret.
Zeneca immediately rolls up and picks the book out of his hands and starts flipping through it. Like, very casual. Like, not like a bully, like schoolyard bully, just picks it up and starts like,
Dipper. Asa's gonna give him back the book.
I like to see how she walks past and Asa walks past the other way.
He's just like, no.
Dipper kind of glares up at Zeneca, and then is like, thank you to Asa.
So, that was a lot. I only got a few pages of that. What's in that book? Is a kid like you old enough to be reading a book like that? She says teasingly.
I'll have you know that I am almost 13 years old.
I remember
12, almost 13 years old. That's a crazy age.
Asa immediately goes into like traumatizing flashbacks of when she was almost 13 years old.
Ember goes, correct me if I'm wrong, but does that mean that you are 12?
He's piecing together the greatest mystery.
Yeah, he's 12.
Fucking the geometry gif of like the fucking like, almost 13.
Ember nods thoughtfully.
It even means that they're both 12, Ember, because they're twins.
To be fair, they did say they were twins. Anyway.
Milo's gonna put out two hands towards the twins and be like, I'm Milo.
They both shake your hand, and Mabel's like, I'm Mabel again, even though she already introduced herself.
Zeneca's gonna hop on one of the beds, like, sort of reclining. He's like, so, sorry to crash in like this, but, we're looking for something, I guess, right? She sort of looks at Ember, I guess, like, reflexively, like sort of mouthing, like...
I say, yes, we are searching for, dark forces that may have appeared recently.
You can't miss them. They're scary shadow monsters. They try to eat people's hearts. It's real, real messy.
Dipper, booking
ghosts.
Intensifies.
Ghosts.
Yeah, Dipper is
ghosts.
Flipping through the book.
That's all they
soon.
Are. Ghosts. Like you said to Solaritas. Ghosts.
Mabel's like, yeah, we have seen some ghosts around here.
Could you tell us anything about that? Where they were, where they went, what they did?
They were in town. They've been kind of going between houses. They've been attacking people. We've been trying to do something about it, but they aren't as friendly as the previous ghosts we've encountered.
As a side note, I like this idea that we crashed on the top of the Mystery Shack, but thus far, no one else who is regularly in the Mystery Shack has come to investigate.
Zeus has to fix the S again, obviously.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Stan cannot be bothered to investigate.
And Wendy doesn't get paid enough for
Grunkle Stan
this.
Is downstairs like, don't start. You crazy kids! Like,
yeah, we cut to a scene of Grunkle Stan watching, yeah, Duck Detective.
It's Duck Detective.
Duck Detective. And he just kind of looks up and he's like, huh. And
it's then the episode back. Where Duck Detective shoots a newspaper magnet in the face.
Yes.
That's a joke someone's going to get. And a very narrow niche of people listening to this is going to get.
I think Milo would look at the two children and sort of look around and realize, like, he doesn't know where anything is in this place. He's gonna look at the two children again and he's gonna be like, can you lead us to where you've seen these things attacking things? I'm sure that we can figure out a way.
And if not you, your parents, where are your parents? Are there any responsible adults around here at all?
Mabel's like, well, there's adults, but I wouldn't call them responsible. And she kind of like, she goes, a yuck, yuck, yuck.
I
high five her.
I'm gonna... can I make a link with Mabel?
Yes, you can make a link with Mabel.
I wanna make a light link with her because she is so charming.
Okay. So that's 2d6 plus your light stat.
That's 1d6 plus light?
2d6 plus light.
Ah, yes.
Following him, can I make a mastery link with Dipper? Because I feel like Zeneca's really interested in him.
Okay, yeah.
This one says Isaiah's not rolling. Oh, first good roll of the game!
I rolled a four!
I can't believe you rolled a 16! That's not even possible!
Oh god, now that means I have to...
Well, you can just change the links. So you don't have to take a hard on a failure for anything.
Oh, yeah.
You should say it's the wrong link.
I'm going to say that Asa instead gets the light link with Mabel.
All right.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so I want to roll. I have nothing for mastery, so just flat 2d6.
Oh, also, Isaiah or Ember, you get a. What was that?
I rolled so good. God, I'm the best at this game.
Oh, okay, yeah. You get a mastery link with Dipper, and your link move triggers.
I don't. My link move doesn't only trigger, but he gets a link with me because that's how the success works.
I'm gonna say he also gets a mastery link with you.
He wants to know how I so smoothly picked the book out of the sand.
Yeah.
I didn't even see her coming.
So Ember also gets a heart link with Mabel.
Sorry, say that again?
You get a heart link with Mabel.
Alright.
Also, I get to mark one of my hunted track for those not in the know with interstitial as the hunted. When certain conditions are met, my hunted track advances, which means my adversary who's facing me gets closer. One of those things that advances the track, making a link of any kind.
Oh god, I forgot about that. Woo.
But it was worth it, because now I'm going to learn from Dipper about monsters and shit.
So this is a very important question for me. Does Mabel's sweater light up?
It looks like it does have some lights in it.
I wanted to ask what the design of her sweater was this episode.
I'm going to say that because I'm in a Christmassy mood, it's a Christmas tree.
Okay.
So she's wearing a sweater with the exact same design as her brother's hat.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, that works.
So, yeah. the moment these two said that there were no responsible adults around, Solaris instantly entered overprotective big brother mode. So I'm going to roll to make a light link with them.
Okay.
Woo!
Okay, so you get a light link with Mabel. He gets a link with both of them, and they both get a light link with him.
So now that they know that I'm the hero of this story, I have a +1 forward to convince them or limit break with them.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Because they're like, this dude.
Fucking double use with Mabel.
So, Solaris's reaction to, there are no responsible adults around here, is to go into protective mode. Milos's reaction is to, oh, so I just have to teach them to be self-sufficient. He wants to create mastery links with Mabel and Dipper Pines on teaching them how to reach into themselves and make sure that they can take care of themselves. Cuz as far as he knows, they can't do that yet.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a fail.
Okay.
You can spend a link and re-roll.
Or I can fail.
You can spend a link to make a link. Okay.
Like, you see, they're dark because they see you being like, listen, young one, sometimes you must kill to survive. And they're like,
ah! Hey, you know what? I'm going to say you get a dark link with them. And they get a dark link with you.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Good start. Also,
sometimes bees will sting you. This is all right. Simply eat.
Eat the bees. I think how my heartling with Mabel manifests is when I hear that there are no responsible adults, I like gain a respect for them for being able to be self-sufficient in a world that doesn't properly take care of them. From my very little interactions with them. I definitely think it's way worse than it is.
Ember is the only one who actually gets that Nipper and Mabel are fine. Shut up.
Yeah.
Nipper, that's what I got to. That's what I got to hide. Nick girls.
Stop.
Okay. So Dipper and Mabel are like, well, we can absolutely take you to see the ghost. Just follow us, and they head downstairs.
Zeneca, like, slides down the railing.
Does Grunkle Stan see that?
Grunkle Stan sees five strangers come down his...
Zeneca did down... the background around the doorway. He's like, sup, old man? Peace sign out.
Jalandis just says, by the way, we're aliens. We're sorry we crashed into your roof. We'll be back eventually. And then goes, and they all...
Ember okay, says, Ember says, ignore both of them and also me and also the two other people. We'll be out of your hair soon.
Can we have the canonical scene where as we're leaving through the gift shop, Wendy's like reading a magazine at the counter and ignores just all of us?
Yeah, 100%. Wendy doesn't even notice you exist.
I can't wait to come back to see our gummy ship on a sales counter.
We leave, the door closes, Zeneca dips back in, looks at a snow globe, shakes it, is enthralled, stuffs it in her pocket, leaves.
Zeneca, no!
Zeneca just steals a snow globe.
Zeneca's the cool friend. But there's no oh weed in Disney.
Disney weed. Nope, that doesn't work.
Okay. So, you head out of the Mystery Shack, and I think I'm going to leave the session off there. If that's okay with everyone else?
Yep.
Sure. Okay.
I think we need a hook for, like, better than just, and you leave the Mystery Shack. Like,
okay. You leave the Mystery Shack, and you hear off kind of in the distance towards where the town is, you hear screaming. And
oh,
you
good.
All rush off over there.
We roll into action. Autobots roll out.
And that's where we leave off.
Revealed that she has a gun.
Oh my god.
Zeneca looks at the camera and says, like, I guess things are about to get serious.
Can we get, like, a supernatural force of Gravity Falls, like, having observed the scene and laughs to itself? Like Bill Cipher is like, aliens, huh?
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of Kingdom Hearts of Forgotten Era. If you enjoyed this episode, please share your thoughts using hashtag KHAFE on Twitter, by adding us using @KH_AFE, or by joining our Discord server, and be sure to give us a good rating on iTunes. If you want to find each of us on Twitter, I can be found at ismaguka, spelled M-E-G-U-C-A. Isaiah, who also wrote the outro music for this episode, can be found at Isaiah Games. Isaiah being spelled I-S-I-A-H. Val can be found at Val Viceroy. Theo can be found at Four Whole Moons. That's four the number, whole not half, moons moons. Rem can be found at REM Speedwagon 8. And Nathan doesn't use Twitter. We hope you'll come back for next week's episode, where our party will be continuing their adventures into the world of Gravity Falls.